Welcome to Phenomenal Woman. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland. Join me as we share the success strategies of phenomenal women achieving extraordinary success around the globe. From the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, this is Real Talk by Real Women. We share with you the highs and lows of their journey and give you honest insight on how you can navigate same with confidence, integrity, and gain a little inspiration. As a leadership strategist, executive coach, and business consultant, I have the pleasure of working with organizations and individuals, helping them to turn their goals into success. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Phenomenal Woman. And I am delighted to be speaking to Carol McIntosh. Director of Training and Marketing at Livewire Group, a communication training consultancy based in Trinidad. So I have my second Trini on the show. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Janice. Thanks for having me.
So I'm just going to give my listeners a bit of a background about you and where you can fill in the gaps for me.
All right. So,
leveraging 16 years of experience in marketing, corporate communication, and social media, Carol nurtures effective communicators. She has delivered training for top-tier organizations like First Citizens, Ansa Macau, Massey Group, and the Central Bank of Trinidad and Tobago. Brands trust her to train their teams in public speaking, social media marketing, business writing, workplace communication, and anything communication-related. Carol has also been a featured speaker at events like the US Embassy and Caribbean Public Health Agency Zika Tech Camp in Barbados and the 10th Caribbean Conference on Comprehensive Disaster Management in the Bahamas. She's the first, mark my word, first Trinidadian to earn a spot at the Branson Centre for Entrepreneurship. She eventually drew from the program. We may ask a little bit more about that. And she also placed the finalist for Magazine Launch of the Year in 2010 Global Digital Magazine Awards for her startup, Outlish.com. Carol is well accomplished as she holds an MSc in Corporate Communication with distinction from Thames Valley University in the UK and a BSc in Government with minor in International Relations from the University of West Indies. Now that's a great introduction, Carol. Welcome to this week's edition of Phenomenal Woman. How are you?
I am fine, thank you, and happy to be here and considered a phenomenal woman.
Excellent. And you are. So I gave a bio, but tell us a little bit more about the work you do and where you come from, your background.
Okay, so my background is communication. Ever since, I would say, even school, you know, I was always writing, always involved in something communication-oriented, speaking, you know, debate team, that type of thing. And even in university, when I went on to work straight out of university, I went into public relations.
Right.
And I continued along that vein. And I've always been a learner, you know, that type of person who you may know you're good, but you want to be able that a year from now, you look back at the work you did. Right. And you critique it and you ask yourself, does it meet my standard at my point of growth? Okay. You know, and I guess that also tied into me just ending up as a trainer. I moved on in my career and then I became a manager, 27, a marketing and PR manager. Right. But I have a broad skill set, so I felt as if the role wasn't enough for me.
Right.
So I left. I didn't have the environment to deliver the kind of modern and really focused marketing that I thought was necessary. And so I went off on my own. I started Outlish because that was actually a teenage dream of mine, right. You know, wanting to have a magazine.
Yes.
And I said, you know what? I'm on my own. I'm 27. I don't have children. I don't have any responsibilities. Let me do one of those things I always wanted to do. Yeah. You know, even if I go back into corporate, you know, on my bad days, I can look back at my days of freedom. So I did Outlish and that was a lot of fun. It was a weekly magazine, actually.
Right.
Every Monday morning, fresh articles. I had trainees from all over the world writing. Yeah. And we placed as a finalist for the Digital Magazine Awards. I ran Outlish for 3 years while also doing training as my revenue-generating stream.
Right.
But then the two, they started to take a toll on me in terms of stress. I actually got a bit of high blood pressure. The doctor told me, take a rest. I'm not going to put you on meds. Let's see how you respond, you know, when you have less on your plate.
Right.
So the pressure went to normal, and it just so happened that I just didn't continue Outlish because I took a break. When I was ready to start again, my dad passed away suddenly, and I just was not in the mood, and I just ended up never restarting, although people still to this day ask me to. But in 2013, I incorporated LiveWire Group.
Okay.
And what we do is offer communication training, specializing in public speaking and presentation skills, social media marketing, business writing, workplace communication, interpersonal skills, just anything that is communication oriented. Because, you know, communication at the core of it is built into just understanding other people and understanding yourself.
Yeah.
And finding that medium point for you all to understand each other and to move closer towards your target.
Right.
So that, you know, that's the essence of what I do.
And LiveWire is your business.
Yes, it is.
Your business. So congrats to you on being a successful entrepreneur.
Thank you.
So you talked about communications. What is it about communications that fascinates you so much, that keeps you motivated to be in that career choice?
I think because it just builds understanding. And when communication is done right, people enjoy being in the space that they are.
Right.
You know, all of us can relate to going to work and not having good days. And when you ask yourself, why did I have a bad day? It's not because you couldn't do the job.
Yeah.
You could do the job, but it's the people stuff. You know, I had a boss early in my career who said, it's not the work that's hard, Carol, it's the people.
Very true.
You know, because I was having difficulty moving forward a project. And that always stuck with me, you know, that it's the people who make the work hard.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, egos get in the way,
you know,
competition for resources, influence, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes if we just stop, like I have a thing in workshops, and I never realized how much I said it until one person a day said, we were talking about tone in writing.
Yeah.
He was like, yes, my other co-worker who came to a previous workshop said, she's like, when she's responding to social media or responding to an off-putting email, she says, I'm going to go to my happy place. Carol says to go to your happy place. And what it really means is, you know, somebody sends you an email. It may have been they're asking you for information you already sent.
Yes.
You can go into the, why is this person so? You know, as I said, this is the information or whatever. But it actually takes less energy to say, hi, Stacey, here's the information. You know, you can refer to the email I sent 2 weeks ago.
So
if you need anything else at all, give me a call. And you avoid going into that emotional hole of just getting upset, not liking the person. And then you're stressed out, they're stressed out.
Yeah.
And communication, you know, we talk a lot about it. And we hear about leaders needing to be effective communicators. But you realize that a lot of leaders are actually not effective communicators.
Yeah.
Because it really comes to that personal commitment. And I think I love communication, one, because I think I am one of those people who you would call a natural communicator.
Right.
Of course, communication can be learned. Effective communication can be learned, along with the commitment to being an effective communicator.
Right.
And putting yourself in check, you know, that emotional intelligence aspect of it. But communication to me, it just, effective communication makes people happy.
Yeah.
And I like being happy, so I guess. I mean, when you asked me that question, I never really thought of why do I love communication so much.
Yeah.
But I really have to think, to say that it just, everybody just has a smile on their face.
Fantastic.
When we know what's going on, even if it's a stressful situation.
Yeah. And I must admit, and like you say about leaders, having been in several leadership roles, you know, there is a way of communicating that even if it's bad news, you can still take people with you. You know, it's about the tone, it's about the words, you know, so communication, as you said, is so powerful. Powerful when it's done well, and destructive when it's not done so well.
You know?
So it's definitely a key point. So Carol, what is the most satisfying challenge you've overcome in your career so far?
I would have to say it's in this business. I think for me, I'm an accidental entrepreneur.
Right.
I never had the dreams of being an entrepreneur. You know, you're taught to do your schoolwork, get your degree, get your master's degree, get a good job, have a nice car, that type of thing. And I'm a bit of a rebel at heart. And that was also part of me just leaving and saying, you know what, I've had enough, I'm gone. But there's a lane of self-discovery when you go off on your own.
Yeah.
And it forces you to kind of find strength in yourself.
Yes.
It makes you adjust your stress muscles.
Yeah.
Because there are the days, you know, people come to me and say, Carol, I want to start a business. I'm so inspired by you. And I stop them and I say, listen to me. You see that nice house you have and that nice car you have and those beautiful kids you have, make sure you can afford them before you make the leap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And set up your things, because there will be days that are good. There will be days that will be bad. There will be days that you doubt yourself and you cry. Yeah. And then the next day somebody miraculously calls on a wonderful project. And you're like, okay, I can keep going again. But I think too, for me, I have never been caught up in the, what I call the romanticizing of entrepreneurship.
Yes, yes.
Because yes, you have freedom. Yeah, you know, yes, you have freedom. Yes, I can get up late. You know, as long as I don't have a workshop, I can get up late.
Yeah.
I can set a meeting for the afternoon period, you know, and that type of thing. But there's a tremendous responsibility when you are responsible for making money for yourself and for others.
Yeah.
Because you can't rest on your laurels.
Yeah.
And so for me, part of the journey has been, sometimes I think about going back to corporate. Not because of the money, but because entrepreneurship can also be very isolating.
Right.
If you're not in a if you're not a business that needs 10 people in the office, yes, or whatever. Yes. Like, yes. I mean, and you can relate to that. It's just you.
Yes, the entrepreneur. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's just you most of the time. You're by yourself. And then even so, in running a business, you learn things, you go through different steps, and you learn things. And then it makes you become a business person.
Yeah.
Because you have to learn things. You start to see things from a different point of view that you need to be able to be an entrepreneur. But the bureaucracy and stuff holds people back. But you get to just focus on the business objectives because you are directly tied to the business objectives.
Yeah.
And so it also engenders in me a greater interest then in business development.
Yeah.
So for me, I wouldn't mind going into corporate as a general manager. You know what I mean? Then I started reading my finance books and so on, because you have to prepare for where you want to.
Yeah.
You know, where we might want to be. But I think it really has, it makes you decide. You have to commit. Am I doing this or am I not doing this?
Yeah.
You know, and then sometimes, sorry, not to cut you, but when I think about saying, you know what, I will go back, I get a ton of work just coming at me as if it's a sign saying, you need to stay where you are and just build a relationship.
So two things spring to mind for Twing when you talk about that, because you mentioned being a rebel. Yeah, you mentioned being a rebel. To me, it sounds like you have very strong values in what you believe in. Mm-hmm. What are your values when it comes to your career and what is it you're looking for when you're in your career?
I think for me, I just want to be able to make an impact.
Yeah.
I think that the work that I do, I want to be proud of it.
Yes.
I want to feel as if it made a positive impact on the people around me.
Right.
Both of my parents were teachers. And, you know, I remember when my dad passed away 4 years ago. And a few months later, I saw a guy on the street who he had taught. The guy, he couldn't read. But daddy taught him how to read so that he can pass. It was technical drawing. And he was like, you know, how's Mr. Mac doing? And I was like, daddy passed away, you didn't hear? And he started to cry like a big man on the street because of the impact.
Yes.
And I think that I think the work is worth it if you're putting a smile on people's faces,
right,
or you're building them up,
right,
in some way. And I mean, and it goes back to, I think you had meant, when we were chatting, I think it was even before when you asked, why communication, what do you love about it? And I realized, I think because effective communication makes people happy.
Yeah.
And I think that comes back to the purpose behind what I do. Mm-hmm. And even when I talk sometimes about corporate, going returning to corporate, I'm like, corporate deserves to have nice people who know how to be firm, but they can be nice. Because I tell people, being nice, being an effective communicator doesn't mean that you're a doormat.
Very much.
It means you're assertive.
Yeah.
But you know how to let people know you are doing nonsense with that project.
Yes.
You need to correct that nonsense. But I don't need to act like a psycho to get you to correct your work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it just comes back to that for me, just creating an environment where people feel nurtured, they feel supported, they feel happy, they feel open, they are going to fail at times, they are going to mess up at times, and they are going to have to get a buff, as we in the Caribbean say, or, you know, it's telling off.
Yeah.
But you don't have to make them feel stripped of their dignity in the process.
Yes. Totally agree with you there. So, Carol, on your journey, your entrepreneurship journey, what part has confidence played in you being an entrepreneur?
Confidence is knowing that I have something to offer. Knowing that it has value.
Yeah.
Because when you work in corporates, you are trained to always ask for a discount. So you'll find that as a consultant, sometimes people ask, we can get this down. And sometimes you have to stick to it and say, no, this is my set price.
Yeah.
It's a price that's worth it. It's a price that I'm comfortable with.
Yeah.
And you find that when you first start out, you cheapen your services.
Right.
So you just want to get the job.
Yeah.
But then we don't have standard rates in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And you will find someone will charge $1 for something. Somebody will charge $100. Somebody will charge $1,000, $10,000, $100,000 for the same exact product. But the confidence comes in. It's not just the confidence in asking for a price. Because when you ask for a certain fee, you know that you are giving those people 100% value for that. So when I commit to doing training for you or a marketing plan or whatever it is, you know that Carol is going to put all of her energy into making this awesome for you and making it an enjoyable experience. And the confidence has to be backed by performance.
Yeah. And I think the confidence there is the key thing there is actually knowing your worth.
Yes.
You know, it's, you know, believing, you know, that you are, as you said, you'll deliver 100% and I totally know my worth. And if you're not going to pay and don't recognize how much I'm worth, then somebody else will.
Yes.
So, like you say, I'm not prepared to cheapen myself because all this took a lot of work.
Yeah. And, you know, it also goes into the business aspect of running an entity because, I remember once I did a little talk for some entrepreneurs and the CEO of an investment company, he told me, Carol, it was a wonderful presentation. I really enjoyed it. He's like, but what I want you to do the next time is go beyond revenue for them. He's like, I know they're starting out. So right now we're just looking at revenue for them. He's like, but there are a lot of big corporations that don't drive profit. They drive revenue. You know, and it's important for entrepreneurs who are starting out to remember that, where am I going? I want to reach a point of profit. If I keep reducing my price, I will drive revenue, but I'm reducing my profit margins.
Yeah.
I learned that from one line in Harvard Business Review Finance. But you know,
one line is the most important line.
You know, and it's part of the journey because I wasn't always there, and I don't think I'm necessarily... I'm not trying to say I'm some business guru or whatever, but you learn that, you know what, if this thing has to be sustainable, if I want what I do, I want to still be doing it in 10 years.
Yeah.
I want to be able to take care of kids or my parents or just get things for myself.
Yes.
I need to have money. I can't always be begging or, you know, you have to try to generate stuff and you have to have money set aside to invest in the business as well.
It's how the world turns, unfortunately. So, you know,
yeah,
we can do it for the love, but we won't be able to live. So,
and it comes back to your confidence that, hey, this is what it is. Because
yeah.
If I keep doing it for $1, then
the business will not grow.
Definitely, definitely. So, Carol, what's been your biggest career triumph?
Still being an entrepreneur and still being able to have the trust of people, because I use social media if I am marketing public workshops,
right,
and so on. But for the most part, my business has been built on referrals.
Yeah.
People who know me. And it also comes from the fact that while I was working, I used to do work on the side as well.
Right.
So people know me, they know of me. And, you know, people also want to work with people who are easy to work with.
Yes.
People who communicate well, people who keep you updated through the project.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I tell people, like youngsters who are starting up, and they're like, oh, straight out of university, I'm going to start a business. I'm like, that's great. But if you're looking to do something that's a professional service for corporate, you need to have some corporate experience.
Yeah.
I can't talk to you about workplace communication if I never experienced a bad boss or not, never experienced somebody making me cry and me learning how not to cry. And how to communicate and articulate my thoughts and to get things done, or to adjust my tone based on the personalities. Yeah. You're not changing yourself. I tell people it's not about changing yourself.
Yeah.
I believe in being who you are. Yeah. If you laugh loudly, by all means, laugh loudly, because nobody calls you to make you laugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But just learning how to just to be yourself and create that understanding. So you can have a good day and the other person can have a good day.
So authenticity is key.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Carol, if you could go back and change one thing, what would it be and why?
I think in the early part, I would have been much more disciplined.
Right.
And about, you know, my routine. I mean, even to this day, I'm not that as disciplined as I think I should be. But yeah, the discipline of it and just taking more responsibility and accountability for, you know what, I've chosen to run a business.
Yeah.
So I need to do certain things and I need to step up. I must say that the person who keeps me in check in that way is my eldest brother.
Right.
Because he also runs a business and he is the most disciplined person that I know.
Right.
He is the most disciplined person that I know. He works quietly. You know, nobody knows who he is, but he is there doing his thing, running what I like to call a real business. he gets up every single day, tired or not. And he manages that with children, that kind of thing. And he just builds.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's maybe the benefit of being the firstborn. Responsibility
never stops,
and discipline is built into you a bit more because you have to take responsibility for more. But
yes.
I think I would have been more disciplined in the start.
Excellent. So being firstborn, I totally understand that. Yeah, you do have that trait. But he's a great great accountability partner and keeps you where you need to be. So we all need that support sometimes. You know, it doesn't hurt at all. So share with us a success quote or a mantra that you use, Carol, and why it's meaningful for you.
I don't necessarily have mantras, but what I would say is prioritize what you want to achieve.
Yeah.
And focus on those things and then phase out the others.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people. What helped me, I actually have it on my desk in terms of productivity, because I made up my own little to-do table. you know, those of us who we have 50 things on one page,
yes.
You know, I can't get all done. So I put them into categories. But there's a quote by a guy called Jim Collins. I don't know what he does. But he says, if you have more than 3 priorities, then you have none.
Yes.
And realistically, we'll write like 20 things. I need to get these 20 things done today.
Yeah.
And it's really 3 you can get through properly.
Everything can't be a priority, or then it's not a priority.
Well, let's be real about how much time we have today.
Yeah.
We can get 3 things done. So I'll put 3 things in the priority column and the other things go into the important column.
Excellent. So do you have any practical tips on building confidence, Carol? Because you come across as a very confident, you know, you've been running your business for a while, you know, it's confidence to ask for business. As you said, stick to your price. Do you have any practice for building confidence?
I tell people one, to practice your craft, because your confidence comes from just knowing I can do this.
Yes.
Because I only do what I love to do and what I know how to do. I know a lot of people love the rigid Branson quote of, if somebody asks you to do something and you don't know how to do it, say yes and then figure it out.
Yeah.
But I like to know what I'm doing. Or I would say, you know what? You want somebody who can teach people in corporate, women in corporate, how to be a CEO in corporate. Yeah. I've never been a CEO in corporate. I can talk stuff and sound nice.
Yeah.
But I know someone called Janice. I'll put you on to Janice. That's my thing. Yeah. But my confidence comes from having worked on my craft and having always been my own critic and not being afraid to say, you know what, Carol, that thing you did 5 years ago, it wasn't good.
Right.
And now I've reached a point of where I've learned that I've crafted it to the point where even when I'm at my worst, I'm good to everybody else. To me, I'm not pleased, but everybody else is amazed. Yeah. And then I saw a quote that said, being a professional means being good even when you're not at your best.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm a professional now. Yeah. But the confidence comes from knowing your stuff.
Yeah.
Because I do training, but I never assume that the people who come to my workshops don't know anything.
Yes.
I assume that you are smart. I respect your intelligence.
Yeah.
I respect your experience. So I need to ensure that I have worked on my craft.
Yes.
So whether a newbie asks me, an entry-level person asks me a question, or an experienced manager asks me a question, I'm prepared for both of them.
Right.
And then for those people who don't have the natural confidence, again, it goes back to lack of confidence comes from not being sure that you know, or not sure, being sure that you can do. And you have to think back to things you did before that you didn't think you can do,
but
you did them, and you did them well.
Yes.
And then do as the penguins in Madagascar say, smile and wave. You might be feeling nervous. I tell people, I was like, do you think Beyonce feels 100% confident all of the time?
Very true.
No, but she doesn't show it.
Yeah.
Just don't show it. You know what I mean? And I'm sure Obama had days where he's like, I don't want to talk to these media people because I don't know what they're going to ask me. But the confidence is a muscle that you build.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So even like for public speaking, you're afraid of public speaking, speak up at your church meeting, speak up with your friends, get accustomed to speaking in front of people and being that person who isn't afraid to blurt out their opinion. You know what I mean? And just build the confidence muscle and know that you can do it, because otherwise you'll just spend your life going on LinkedIn or Facebook or even in work and looking at somebody who doesn't know it, but they're super confident and they're the one getting the promotion.
You mentioned about being your own worst critic, you know, and we all have inner critics, or I call them the inner mean girl. But you know, that voice that sometimes pops up and says to you on your shoulder, who do you think you are? You know, you can't do that. You're not good enough. In those situations, how do you tell her to shut up? How do you get her to shut up, for want of a better, you know, for want of a better phrase?
Well, actually, I'm pretty blessed. In my inner critic doesn't come from a point of doubt, you know.
Yeah.
That was my computer telling me the time. My inner critic doesn't come from a point of doubt. It comes from a point of, are we prepared?
Right.
And can we deliver something that is bulletproof?
Right.
I know some people, it's from a place of doubt.
Yeah.
For me, it's really from that place of knowing that there's no way that you can say that what I did was not good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just really a way of building excellence. The inner critic.
So your inner critic is far more supportive than it is a critic. And they can sometimes. So you're in a fabulous place, Carol. You're in a fabulous place.
I have to thank my parents for that. I really do. Because I never grew up. Yes, I have a strong personality.
And I've always been oblivious to things going on around me. I'm never the person who wonders if people think I'm pretty or, you know, they think I put on weight or whatever. And when I look back at how my parents raised me, I realized that they built confidence into me, apart from my own personality, the things they did, you know, the critical thinking skills.
Yes.
Knowing how to speak. You know, when I do public speaking training and I have a part where I make people watch how they speak, how they enunciate. Yeah. Because I say, we're in the Caribbean, we are going to use Creole, we are going to get comfortable. Yeah. But there will be times where you need to watch how you speak. Yeah. And somebody asked me, how is it that you do it? Because, I mean, to be frank, Janice, I love my Creole. I could just go into Creole and have some time. You know, but there are times when you have to switch to the standard. And my dad had a thing when we were younger, you had to read with meaning. Right. You couldn't just come and read a paragraph for him and be like, no tone, no enunciation. Yeah. Yeah. You had to start over, you know. And I think for me, that built it into me. But I think people have to just believe in themselves. Yeah. And even if you're doubting yourself, I mean, I tell people, I remember... Michael Jackson said he used to be nervous many times when he had to perform. But there he was moonwalking anyway. Yeah. You know what I mean then? Yeah. Yeah. And we have to remember that everybody gets nervous. Everybody doubts themselves. Everybody feels sick on certain days.
Yeah.
But you have to go there and perform and make a decision that I'm going to perform. And if I try to do the best I can, and if I have prepared myself to deliver my best, then I can feel confident that I've done the work. I have the ability. And you know what? Even if people give me feedback, and it may be feedback I don't like, I can take that feedback and work on it. I also have to be able to identify constructive feedback versus feedback that is meant to break me down. You have to know who are the people who want to break you down, because other people, they see the potential in you that you don't see in yourself.
Very much, very much,
And they try to break you down before you can reach their level and become a threat to them, because they know that they can't match your skill. Yeah. You know, and people have to realize that. And I tell people too, somebody tells you, I don't like your work, it's horrible. Ask them, well, could you tell me three things that I could improve?
Yeah.
And if they can't give you specific responses, it means that they were being petty.
Definitely. Well, your parents did a great job because you're really well-rounded in the confidence field. So, I love it. Yeah. I love it. So, Carol, you talk about your parents, but what advice would you give to your teenage self now, looking back?
What advice would I give to my teenage self? I don't know, Janice. the advice I would give to my teenage self... I think would have been to embrace the challenge of maths.
Right.
You know, for me, again, I don't know if I am just fortunate, but this Carol was teenage Carol as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then it was just who I am.
Yeah.
Additionally, I have to say the school I attended, the secondary school I attended, St. George's College, they build you to be a confident, all-round person.
Yeah.
We had people, students from all walks of life.
Yeah.
We had teachers who made you speak in class. You had to be articulate. You had to communicate. They took an interest in you. They called you out when you weren't doing what you needed to do. I mean, I had a teacher I called just last week to chat about one of my nieces, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
And so we still have that kind of relationship.
Right.
But they themselves were strong. But I think now that I run a business, I'm one of those communicators who in the beginning was like, oh, I'm not good with numbers. You know, pull out the calculator or let the finance person do it. But when you run a business, you have to learn to understand the numbers.
Yes.
And what I've learned to understand is the logic, because numbers have logic in them. Even if you need the calculator, you can still start to draw, you know, what is the data telling you?
Yes.
So young Carol, I would have said, don't lock yourself in one lane. Because back then I locked myself as just, you know, I'm a communication person.
Right.
I will do my literature in French and Spanish and so on. But just to embrace the things you are afraid of that you think you will fail at, because you might end up needing it down the road.
Fabulous, fabulous. I love that. Embrace the things you think you're afraid of. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. So if you could choose your own mentor, Carol, who would it be and why?
Oh, Janice, you have some questions there. You know who I would, who would I choose? I want to say Oprah. Not that I'm a huge Oprah fan.
Everybody says Oprah. 95% of my women say Oprah.
But it's from the business aspect of it.
Yes.
How do you scale the business?
Yeah.
Somebody else who I listened to her. I know about her. It's a lady called Mara Brock Akil.
Yes.
She created the game. She has a new show called Love Is on the Oprah Channel.
Yes.
The game was an awesome comic romantic drama and girlfriends and that type of thing. But I listened to her in an interview on the Wendy Williams show.
I watched the same interview.
Yeah,
I watched the same interview.
And if you watch just how she carries herself,
yeah,
and how she speaks and how she thinks, because Wendy Williams is asking her, you know, what do you say? Will you make another girl? Will you make a girlfriend's movie?
Yeah,
and she was like, "There's a process, you know. So let's look at the process.
Yes,
we know it's worth something. Let's go through the process.
Yeah,
to get these $10 million that we need."
Yeah.
Back in the day, I would have taken $6 million. She's like, but you know what? I've learned to know what the worth is.
Yeah.
And we need $60 million to do a good movie as opposed to a movie that's poor quality.
Yeah.
And when she said, let's go through the process, she meant, let's not get out ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's not get caught in the emotions of it.
Right.
There is a process that we have to go through.
Yeah.
And in those few moments, I was like, I like her. I'm going to start looking for videos. But I think any woman who has learned to navigate and not give up who they are, and not to be afraid of others, because we forget that the same way we're fearful, other people are fearful as well.
Very much.
You know what I mean? But I think from the businesswoman point of view, just being able to build out that empire, but knowing how to scale it as well.
Yeah.
On that level. And you know, I'm constantly searching as well for Caribbean women specifically. Right. Because we can make an Oprah, but Oprah has a totally different environment to us.
Very much. Yes.
And she has a larger geographic location to work with.
Yeah. But I'll never knock a hustle. So Carol, what are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
I learned that I'm adaptive.
Yeah.
I learned that I'm resilient.
Yes, excellent.
And I learned that I am extremely detail-oriented. I'm meticulous. Fabulous. I have a very easygoing personality. I will always be the person who laughs and smiles. And I had a friend who told me once, you know, people think that she was saying, you know, people see me as serious. I'm always serious, you know, and that kind of thing. And they see you always laughing, but they don't realize that you are jokey serious. And what she meant was, Carol is laughing, but right underneath there, Carol is extremely anal, detail-oriented, but I make organization look easy. I don't believe in negative stress.
Right.
I believe in positive stress. I used to say this early, this is one thing I learned early on in my career, that work is going to be stressful, but we can make it less stressful.
Right.
If I speak to Janice and say, Janice, what do you have going on next week? I need such and such a view. And I prepare Janice for the stress that is coming. Yeah. And I let her know I'm going to call on you on Tuesday for X, but I am putting things in place. So in her mind, you gain clarity as to what is expected.
So you
can receive, you know, okay, Tuesday is going to be a rough day.
Yeah.
But yeah, at least you're open to it, and it becomes positive stress that achieves results as opposed to negative stress. And at the end of the day, we still haven't achieved what we wanted to achieve.
So just touching on that, you know, in stress and work, what's the piece of advice you'd give to basically maintaining a work-life balance? I hate the phrase work-life balance because I just don't think it exists.
Yeah.
We get to a place of integration where we're comfortable, we're happy, and we've got everything the way we want to work. So how do you go about making sure you don't burn out? You talked about the stress of having two business previously, you know, stuff like that. So how do you make sure you don't neglect yourself, the people around you, or your own health?
I think sometimes you have to create mini moments
for
clarity.
Yeah.
I read this guy called Tony Schwartz. He's an energy consultant.
Yeah.
And he spoke about taking 10-minute naps. Or 20-minute naps. And I tell people, you're not like me, you don't work from home, but you find out somewhere in the office, or you go in your car, you put on your AC, you put on your alarm clock, and you take that 10-minute nap, or that 20-minute nap, so that your mind can calm down, the cortisol levels in your body can reduce, and you can just feel more in control of yourself, because you start off the day and you just end up feeling more and more out of control.
Yeah.
And we don't ever stop to get our body settled again.
Yeah.
Do deep breathing. It's meditation. Right. When you really look at it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't look at it as meditation, but it really is. But it's just taking that moment to say, I am feeling out of control. Let me take some deep breaths. Let me calm myself. Let me calm my mind, calm my spirit.
Yeah.
And then figure out what my next step will be.
Definitely. And those few minutes just absolutely work wonders. One of the things I used to do, even before you get there, is I was writing about this last night, that I used to actually schedule my lunch breaks, because I knew if I didn't have it in my diary, and I used to mark it as private. So what used to happen is that people would look at your diary being Outlook, and they'd say, oh, you've only got this, it's only lunch. I can have a meeting in there. You know, so I have to make it private. It may be just my lunch to you.
Yes.
But to me, it's the little few minutes that I get to have a breather, step away, take a bit of time for myself to regroup, to come back.
Yes.
You know? So, and we have to get in the habit of doing that and realizing it's not, you know, a sign of weakness. Actually, it's a sign of strength, knowing that I have to regroup to come back.
You have to manage. I read somewhere where they said you don't manage time, you manage your energy.
Yes.
And that ties back. I tell people there are days I do workshops, you know, and I tell people a workshop is an 8-hour presentation.
Yeah.
And I have to be present for every minute of
all those 8 hours. All the time. Where's the questions coming from? What are the answers? You have to be totally.
Yeah. And people want your attention,
yeah.
You know, and you give them your attention and they feed off of you, and you're giving away your energy and your knowledge and so on. But sometimes during the break, I go and I take a 3 minutes in the bathroom and I just, you know, calm myself, because the adrenaline is pumping, and you need to stop.
Yeah.
So it's like giving a car fuel.
Yeah.
You know, and that would help people with, especially for those people who are a bit emotional. And they have a boss, you know, who just picks at them all day.
Yeah.
You go even a calm moment, you ask yourself, what is the real issue here?
Yeah.
And what is the emotion behind why she's behaving, how she's behaving, or how he's behaving?
Yeah.
And then you go and you address that. I tell people, if you have a boss, but you say, he never smiles at you, don't go to him with a beast face, because your beast face has never helped to improve the relationship. Go to him with a pleasant face, and maybe one day he will feed into that pleasantness. You know, you have to try different things. But it comes back to, I think people need to understand that the role that communication plays in them having a good day.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, you can't control people outside of you, but you can learn how to manage yourself.
Yes.
And as you go along, you become more adept at managing people and diffusing situations and building understanding.
Fabulous.
So, you know, there'll always be that special person who will act how they act
every time.
Yeah. But if you can reduce the number of special people, hey, that's a success right there.
Carol, coming to my last couple of questions now. What's your definition of success?
My definition of success is doing something that doesn't give you negative feelings.
Right.
And feeling fulfillment in it, feeling as if it has a purpose, and being able to smile every day.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And lastly, what does it mean to be, what does it mean to you to be your own hero?
It means standing up for myself.
standing up for myself, whether it's professionally, whether it's in my personal life, letting people know that this is the standard I have.
Yeah.
And I have the standard because I plan to give you the standard as well.
Yeah.
What I expect I give as well. And if you treat me less than I deserve to be treated well, I need to change my environment.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I love that answer. So that was my last question. But if our listeners want to get in touch with you, Carol, how can they do that?
They can find me on LinkedIn. Look for Carol McIntosh. That's K-A-R-E-L. I am also on Instagram. They can also email me, carol@livewiredgroup.com. And just remember that D in LiveWired. And send me an email and I'll respond. And I'm easy to find on the internet. You just put my name in. Excellent. And you will find me.
Excellent. And I'll be sure to leave all the links in the show notes.
Yes.
So, Carol, as I said, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. It was a delight. I absolutely loved it. Such a lively conversation. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Janice.
Excellent. That was great conversation there with Carol, some really great insights. The thing I always see when I'm interviewing all the women I've done so far is how much they're prepared to focus on what they really want. You know, they are scared, don't get me wrong, there's some scared and they suffer with some challenges around confidence, but they just overcome that and move forward. The thing to realize is that we have to take everything one step at a time, put one foot in front of each other. That's all we need, just a steady movement in the direction that we know we need to take. Now, if you've outlined your goal, your focus, and it's aligned to what you really, really want, your deepest, your major purpose, then you're already doing 90% more than the rest of the world. There's not many women out there who are chasing their potential. We're all guilty of that and are not chasing our potential. And right now, it's a huge opportunity for you to be out there and be an example, be an invitation. Design your own fantastic, incredible goals and keep moving forward towards it. The more you do it, the more others will do it too. Why? Because they can see someone else showing that it's possible. So think about it. Who did you learn from? What did they show you? I hope you take the conversations I have with all my phenomenal interviewees as a learning tool. So as ever, that's the end of this week's program. If you want to keep in touch with me and all the other phenomenal women, just visit me on my Facebook page. I am Janice Sutherland. I'm on Instagram. I am Janice Sutherland. Or you can visit my website, janicesutherland.com. If you want to work with me and have further conversations on how I can help you push your career forward or just move forward generally in what you want to focus on. As ever, all that remains to be said is that it's always a pleasure speaking to you guys as ever. So be bold, be fearless, be phenomenal, be you. Until next time.